Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From Indonesia to the world.
Hello listener, welcome back with me Rahma. In today's edition, we'll present some segments for you, starting from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well listener, let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency of 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile App. English program of Voice of Indonesia can also be accessed in our mobile application, RRI Digital.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the main point. The Indonesian government prepares strategic steps to push empowerment agenda. Studies to develop the Satria 2 satellite will continue throughout 2025. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Community Empowerment, Muhaimin Iskandar, highlighted the government's strategic steps in pushing empowerment agendas to increase community independence. Issues that should be addressed through the empowerment agenda include increasing the capacity of small, medium, and cooperative businesses by providing training and raw materials, as well as creating a holding between micro, small, and medium enterprises and supporting cooperation between micro, small, and medium enterprises and large businesses. After a recent meeting with President Prabowo Subianto at the Bogor Presidential Palace, Muhaimin Iskandar revealed the government's plan to improve the capacity and capabilities of Indonesian migrant workers by preparing 100 new job training centers for workers. Another program that is the focus of the empowerment agenda is optimizing social assistance through the Ministry of Social Affairs. Muhaimin Iskandar explained that the government will improve the data on aid beneficiaries by accepting suggestions and objections from the public to ensure that social assistance is right on target. The Indonesian Telecommunication Accessibility Agency, or BAKTI, under the Ministry of Communication and Digital Affairs, has confirmed that studies to develop the Satria 2 satellite will continue throughout 2025. President Director of BAKTI, Fadilah Mazhar, remarked on Saturday. Earlier in October 2024, BAKTI had announced that the construction of Satria 2 would proceed with plans for it to function as twin geostationary satellite. Head of the BAKTI Satellite and Internet Access Division, Haris Sangidun, explained that the twin satellites will be named Satria 2A and Satria 2B. The development of the twin satellites aims to improve the quality of internet services in Indonesia, ensuring greater stability and speed. Mazhar also highlighted that the construction of Satria 2 along with the Palapa Ring Integration Project is geared towards achieving equitable digital connectivity across Indonesia. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Youth and Sports, Taufik Hidayat, expects the Indonesian badminton team to win gold medals at the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles, the United States. Hidayat visited recently the Indonesian Badminton Association's National Training Center to give his support and inputs to athletes and coaches. As a former world Olympic, 2-time Asian Games, and 3-time Asian champion, Hidayat emphasized the importance of commitment, hard work, and responsibility of all stakeholders in restoring the glory of Indonesian badminton in the world. The gold medalist from the 2004 Athens Olympics also remarked that achieving success as an athlete is not solely dependent on competitive experiences, but is significantly influenced by a champion's mindset. To this end, Taufik Hidayat underscored the need for training, matches, and programs to be designed with clear and measurable goals. Thousands of South Korean protesters braved a snowstorm on Sunday, January the 5th, after suspended President Yoon Suk-yeol, who was still resisting arrest over a failed martial law bid less than 48 hours before the warrant expires. Yoon plunged the country into political chaos last month with a bungled martial law decree and has since resisted arrest efforts. On Saturday, thousands descended on his residence and major roads in Seoul a day after a failed arrest attempt, with one camp demanding Yoon's arrest while the other calling for the impeachment to be declared invalid. Yoon faces criminal charges of insurrection, one of a few crimes not subject to presidential immunity, meaning he could be sentenced to prison or, at worst, the death penalty. If the warrant is executed, Yoon would become the first sitting South Korean president to be arrested. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken arrives late Sunday in crisis-riven South Korea, where he will seek delicately to encourage continuity with the policies, but not tactics, of the impeached president. Blinken will hold talks with counterpart Cho Tae-yul on Monday, the same day a warrant expires to arrest suspended President Yoon Suk-yeol, who unsuccessfully tried to impose martial law on December the 3rd. Seoul is the first stop on what will likely be Blinken's final trip as the top U.S. diplomat, as he seeks to highlight President Joe Biden's record rallying Democratic allies before the return of the more mercurial Donald Trump. Blinken will head afterwards to Tokyo, making it crucial in the eyes of his advisors not to snub South Korea, which has a fraught and often competitive relationship with Japan, a fellow U.S. ally, also home to thousands of American troops. Malaysia said Saturday, January the 4th, that it expelled two boats ferrying about 300 undocumented migrants from Myanmar from the country's waters. The Malaysian Maritime Enforcement Agency, MMEA, said the boats were located 2 nautical miles or 3.7 kilometers southwest of the northern reserves of Langkawi late Friday evening. The agency provided assistance, including food and clean drinking water, before expelling the boats out to the national maritime border to continue their journey. Director General Mohammad Rosli Abdullah said in a statement, "They are also working closely with Thai authorities to obtain additional information on the movements of these boats." On Friday, Malaysian police detained almost 200 suspected Rohingya migrants from Myanmar after their boat ran aground in Langkawi. The Muslim Rohingya experienced persecutions in their predominantly Buddhist homeland of Myanmar, with many fleeing to affluent Muslim-majority Malaysia or refugee camps in Bangladesh. The United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon, UNIFIL, on Saturday accused the Israeli army of deliberately destroying its property and critical infrastructure in southern Lebanon, marking a serious escalation in tensions along the border. In a statement issued on Saturday, UNIFIL said peacekeepers witnessed an Israeli army bulldozer destroying a blue barrel marking the withdrawal line between Lebanon and Israel in Al-Labuneh, as well as a watchtower belonging to the Lebanese Armed Forces adjacent to a UNIFIL site in the area. The blue barrels, which serve as markers for the withdrawal line, commonly referred to as the blue line, are crucial in delineating the boundary established following Israel's withdrawal from southern Lebanon in 2000. UNIFIL condemned the actions, describing them as a deliberate and direct destruction of its property and infrastructure clearly identifiable as belonging to the Lebanese armed forces. UNIFIL urged all parties to exercise restraint and avoid any action that could jeopardize the fragile cessation of hostilities. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This week's spotlight is on Indonesian Foreign Minister launches gastro diplomacy dashboard as Indonesian diplomacy's soft power. Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono on Monday, December 30, 2024, launched the Indonesian gastro diplomacy dashboard at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta. In his remarks, Minister Sugiono said that culinary delight is one of the soft power diplomacy strategies that has proven effective in becoming a cultural bridge. In addition, it also has great potential to improve the economy, trade, and international relations. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs noted that in 2024, as many as 30 spice products and 9 Indonesian seasoning products had been exported to various countries. However, Foreign Minister Sugiono underlined the challenges faced in promoting Indonesian gastronomy. He explained that coordination, collaboration, and synergy from all stakeholders are needed to make it a national branding. In line with this, the Deputy for Creative Culture and Design, Ministry of Creative Economy, Yuke Sri Rahayu, conveyed her ministry's commitment to continue to encourage the strengthening of the implementation of Indonesian gastro diplomacy. She believes that the Indonesian gastro diplomacy dashboard will accelerate efforts to introduce Indonesian cuisine to the world community. The Indonesian Gastro Diplomacy Dashboard is a platform built as an initiative of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to provide a reference for culinary actors in the country and Indonesian representatives abroad in developing effective gastro diplomacy strategies. This effort was made to support economic diplomacy, the advancement of gastronomy as a soft power asset of Indonesian diplomacy, and also to support the Indonesian Spice Up the World program, which has been running since 2021. The Indonesian Gastro Diplomacy Dashboard presents data visualization of Indonesian restaurants and spice and seasoning products and seasoning products abroad based on the results of a survey conducted by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs from March to May 2024 in collaboration with Indonesian representatives in various countries. The 2024 survey result recorded 1,221 Indonesian restaurants abroad. Meanwhile, founder and group CEO of Baba Raffi Enterprise, Hendy Setiono, welcomed the initiative of the Gastro Diplomacy Dashboard. According to him, this step is a strategic breakthrough in strengthening Indonesia's culinary diplomacy in the international arena. As a culinary industry player who has experience in bringing Indonesian flavors to the global market, Hendy Setiono emphasized the importance of synergy between the government and business actors. He also conveyed the great potential for micro, small, and medium enterprises to utilize this platform. According to him, they have an important role in introducing Indonesian culture through food. With this dashboard, they can gain access to information and opportunities to expand into the international market. That was this week's Spotlight.
Oh.
start today in history with January the 5th, 1960, the death of Albert Camus. Albert Camus was an Algerian-born French writer and philosopher. He is often classified as an existentialist writer. Camus was of Spanish descent. He won the Nobel Prize in Literature at the age of 44 in 1957. He became the second youngest recipient of the Nobel Prize in Literature in history. Albert Camus died in a car accident in the Ville Blaisien on January the 5th, 1960. Moving on to January the 5th, 1963, the first Indonesian Navy Women's Corps Day celebrated. January the 5th is an important day in Indonesia, especially for the Indonesian Navy. On January the 5th, 1963, 12 participants of the first batch of the Navy Women's Corps, or COAL, were inaugurated as COAL officers. The birth of COAL began in 1962 when the idea arose in the Navy to showcase the role of Indonesian women in the field of defense and security, especially in the maritime sector. The formation of COAL aimed at to provide rights, obligations and honors to Indonesian women to fill positions of Indonesian women in order to improve and make the organization more efficient. The date of COAL's first inauguration, January the 5th, was then celebrated every year in Indonesia as COAL Day. I will end today in history with January the 5th, 1970, the Tonghai earthquake. The 1970 Tonghai earthquake occurred at 1:41 local time on January the 5th with a moment magnitude of 7.1 and a maximum Mercalli intensity of X or extreme. At least 10,000 people were killed, making it one of the deadliest in a decade. Occurring during the height of the Cultural Revolution, this disaster was not widely publicized by the Chinese government for more than a decade. This earthquake was one of the reasons behind the creation of China's largest earthquake monitoring system 25 years later. That was today in history over Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in this week's listeners' mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answer their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply to an email from Mr. Anand Mohan Bain in India. He was listening to our broadcast in Japanese at 12 to 1 p.m. UTC through frequency 4755 with SIMPO 444. Hello, sir. Thank you so much for sending audio recording about our Japanese broadcast. It was so clear. I forwarded your email to Japanese section. Please be patient for the reply. Thank you. As appreciation, I'll play a beautiful song special for you. So keep listening to Voice of Indonesia.
Kamu lah. kamu berubah. Dulu kurus sekarang gajah. Aku bilang semua manusia berubah.
Still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id and RRI Digital Mobile App channel VOI. In today's edition, we'll give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Ministry of Youth and Sports prioritizes programs in line with Asta Cita. Deputy for Youth Empowerment of the Indonesian Ministry of Youth and Sports, Asrorun Ni'am Soleh, said he would prioritize programs that are in line with the grand vision of the 2024-2029 Red and White Cabinet, Asta Cita, in 2025. As quoted from the official ministry website Tuesday, Asrorun explained that the ministry is currently accommodating President Prabowo Subianto's direction, especially in eradicating online gambling, drugs, and strengthening digital literacy to prevent the negative impact of technology. Furthermore, he added that the ministry is ready to become an aggregator and main sector in youth services. It will continue to adjust programs to the challenges of the times, ensuring that Indonesian youth are ready to face the new era with optimism and creativity. Asrorun also said that previously in 2024, the Ministry of Youth and Sports had launched a number of strategic programs. They included strengthening creativity and character, developing digital literacy, combating online gambling, drugs, and technology abuse. besides integrating pioneering spirit and national defense spirit into youth development programs. According to him, this also marks the initial step of the Ministry of Youth and Sports to strengthen the role of youth as agents of change amidst global dynamics. According to Asrorun, 2025 is the time to go further, making Indonesian youth the main pillars of a creative and innovative people and globally competitive. That was my Indonesia today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we will reply to an email from Abid Hussein Sajid in Pakistan. He was listening to English program to frequency 4755 kHz at 1:30 to 2 p.m. with SIO 444. In his email, he also sent audio recording of our English program. Hello sir, thank you so much for your reception report. I'm so happy because our English program was able to hear clearly in your country. As appreciation, I'll play a beautiful song for you, so enjoy the song.
Banyak yang ku lewati, banyak yang ku alami. Kenanganmu tersimpan di hati. Walau ku harus pergi, walau ku harus berlari, kenanganmu terasa di hati. Saat kau menari dengan tawa, rasa terkesima mulai melebu dalam hati ini. Dan ku telah arungi luar semesta, tapi tak ada yang mengalahkan indah parasmu. Terkesima mulai melebu dalam hati ini. Dan ku telah arungi luar semesta, tapi tak ada yang mengalahkan indah parasmu.
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcasts in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and by streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we'll present to you Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Indonesian Wonder today is featuring Banyulawe Waterfall in Madiun, East Java. Banyulawe Waterfall is one of the waterfall tours that should not be missed when visiting Madiun district. It is precisely located in Kepol village, Kare, Madiun, East Java province. Located on the slopes of the Wilis mountains with a scout atmosphere, this place is very beautiful and offers a refreshing and peaceful experience. This waterfall looks like it is waving when seen from a distance, so the local people named it Banyulawe Waterfall. Banyulawe means waving water. Banyulawe Waterfall, with a height of approximately 30 meters, is surrounded by lush forests, creating a cool and natural atmosphere. The fast and clear flow of water makes this place suitable for soaking or playing in the water. In addition, the sound of gurgling water combined with the chirping of birds makes visitors feel close to nature. Access to Banyulawe Waterfall requires a little effort, because the path to the location is quite challenging. However, your journey will be paid off with the extraordinary scenery that awaits at your destination. The trekking route also adds to the exciting adventure experience. This place also offers natural photo spots known as Instagrammable. Large rocks around the waterfall are often used as photo backgrounds by visitors. Although the facilities around the waterfall are not yet complete, tourists can still enjoy their visit. It is advisable to bring your own supplies, especially if you plan to spend more time at this location. Indeed, the calm atmosphere makes the Banyulawe Waterfall tourist spot a suitable place to escape from the daily hustle and bustle. That was today's Indonesian Wonder.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Before we end our segment, listeners mailbag, I will greet our listeners wherever you are who send New Year's greetings. I'm really sorry because so many people send New Year's greetings and prayer to us, so I cannot mention your name one by one. To all Voice of Indonesia listeners, Happy New Year. Let's hope this New Year can bring health and success to all of us. Well, listener, wherever you are, as information, you can access our broadcast, Voice of Indonesia, through 3325 and 4755 kHz and also 7780 kHz, which was broadcast by WRMI. If you have suggestion or criticism, please send the feedback to voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com. Now we have to end our segment listeners mailbag, but before that, we still have a beautiful song for you. Happy listening.
freedom. Kini aku bebas, lakukan apa yang ku mau. Kini aku bebas. Tersenyum my freedom. Kini aku bebas, kini aku lepas. Kini aku bebas, kini aku lepas.
That was the third song presented by Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we present to you Miscellany.
Miscellany today is about Gajah Mada University or UGMU students win main champion of ASEAN Investment Challenge 2024. Another proud achievement was achieved by an undergraduate student of the Faculty of Economics and Business of Gajah Mada University, UGM, Ali Alexander, at the ASEAN Investment Challenge 2024 event. This management study program student from the 2021 batch won the champion title or main champion in Indonesia in the prestigious competition organized by CGS International Securities in Jakarta. The victory at the national level led him to represent Indonesia in the regional competition which will be held this month. ASEAN Investment Challenge is a leading annual investment competition organized by CGS International. This competition aims to encourage students' understanding of sustainable investment and contribute to building a strong stock market in the future. With the theme, Your Galaxy, Your Way, this year's country-level competition will last for 4 months, from August to November 2024. As the leading investment competition in Southeast Asia, the ASEAN Investment Challenge 2024 is attended by more than 1,000 students from all over Indonesia. This competition is divided into two levels, namely country level and regional level. At the country level stage, participants from each country, including Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, and Thailand, compete in a series of investment challenges. The main case in this competition is to design an optimal investment strategy to maximize profits amid economic uncertainty. To solve this case, participants are required to build an efficient stock portfolio with a higher return than the composite stock price index, namely by paying attention to diversification, complying with ESG or environmental social governance criteria, having a high margin of safety, and seeking opportunities from companies involved in corporate actions such as acquisitions or mergers. Ali managed to overcome this challenge by implementing a strategy based on in-depth fundamental analysis. Ali managed to build a portfolio with a higher return than the composite stock price index while supporting the ESG sustainability principle. That was Miscellany today.
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Ini hidupku, bukan hidupmu. Tak perlu ku mengikuti semua langkahmu. Ini mimpiku, bukan mimpimu. Ku dengar suara hati memanggil.
Jangan maksakan sudah kata-katamu.
Janganlah berani percaya, engkau pasti akan kesana.
Jangan maksakan siapa kakitimu.
Kau pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi kita. Pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ini saatnya ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Caraku bukan caramu. Cibiran kata hanyalah angin berlalu. Aku beranikan diri dengar suara hati.
Jangan
berani percaya, engkau pasti akan kesana. Kau pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ku pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ini saatnya ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ini saatnya ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Aku lihat cahaya di sana. Kini aku melangkah ke sana. Tak peduli mereka.
Of Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner presents a song from Paul Partohap. Paulus Andreas Partohap Silalahi, or better known as Paul Partohap, is an Indonesian singer and musician born on April 30, 1993. He's also known as the husband of Gita Savitri, Indonesian YouTuber and influencer. Paul began his music career in a debut single featuring Gita called Seandainya, or If Only, released in 2017. After that, he kept releasing more songs. On November 19, 2024, Paul Partohap released a new single titled Vitamin U, which goes viral in social media, including on TikTok. The song is the second release after the full album launching, Lover's Atlas. Paul writes Vitamin U along with Khalisha Ishana, who also becomes the producer. Just like the other songs, Paul writes the song lyrics inspired by his wife, Gita Savitri. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song Vitamin U by Paul Partohap. Enjoy!
Hand in hand, forever side by side, a love so special can reunite. Two souls entwined, I'll pass my prime for a little while, but I found you with a smile. I love who I am when I'm with you. May all the me inside of you, all I want is you. There is no capture needed. Breathe in my body, I feel it. Best to make you mine. Oh my. Become my new obsession. You are the mirror that is show. I want to
is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Meski aku coba bertahan, dengan mudah ku dikalahkan oleh kerinduanku sendiri. Meski aku coba tutupi dengan cara bohongi hati, tapi sakit ini pun menjadi. Aku terluka dan semakin tersiksa. Cinta selamatkanku, tak ingin aku sendiri. Cinta datanglah dengannya, mimpiku, rasaku terlanjur ku simpan untuknya. Oh, meski aku coba bertahan, dengan mudah ku dikalahkan oleh kerinduan ku sendiri. Meski aku coba tutupi dengan cara bohongi hati, tapi sakit ini pun menjadi.
Listener, thank you so much for listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia on the frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz, streaming at voinews.id and at RA Digital mobile app channel VOI. Please give your feedback to our email, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at VOI_official, VOI_official. We are also on TikTok at VOI_official. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Official. Well, that's a wrap today's English program from Voice of Indonesia. I'm Rahma, signing out, and bye for now.